Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of our Savior.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Every year, around Easter, I see pastors and priests frequently on the internet who feel the need to tell everyone that Easter is about Jesus, not about bunnies. I don't know why they feel such a need, and to be honest, they should do a little bit more research before sharing their opinions and thoughts. Yes, of course, Easter is about Jesus. It's kind of the whole point. Without Jesus being resurrected, Easter would just simply not exist. And while not being central to Easter, bunnies are certainly a great tool to tell the story. Yep, people, you heard it right. This priest is not against the Easter Bunny. In fact, I'm very supportive of the Easter Bunny. The Easter Bunny actually is a way that people have used to share what happened to Jesus. Just like how we come to church and we read the same stories every year, and we gather to celebrate the same event every year, for some of us, bunnies help us to remember the miracle of Jesus rising from the dead. One legend tells us that a rabbit was the creature that witnessed the resurrection, and also then went out and told every other animal what had happened. The story goes like this. There was a rabbit who lived in a garden. In that garden, someone had made a tomb. When Jesus died on the cross, the earth shook and the sky went black so that the rabbit understandably got scared. It ran straight into the tomb to hide. And then, distressingly, that rabbit finds itself sealed into the tomb with a dead man as a large stone is rolled across the opening. Things stay this way for a little while, with the rabbit thinking, surely it's a goner. And then all of a sudden, there's a bright light. And wham, bam, Jesus is alive again. And obviously, as I hope we all would be, the rabbit was shocked. And when the giant stone is rolled away and the man walked out, the astonished rabbit went with him. And that rabbit went and told all the other animals and all the other rabbits. And, well, they reproduced like rabbits and shared the story with their multitude of children and their children's children and their children's children's children and so on. Now, I have absolutely no idea if this version of the Easter Bunny's origin story really happened, but I also don't really care. Because this story tells me something. It reminds me that Jesus' resurrection is all-encompassing. It's not for any single person at any single time. Yes, as our gospel tells us, Mary Magdalene was the one whom Jesus first appeared to. And then, despite a bit of question and answer, she finally recognizes Jesus. And then, like that rabbit, she went and told her friends. But because those she told were men, and men rarely understand things more quickly than women, they wanted to go to that tomb and see for themselves. And even then, they believed, but they didn't understand. That doesn't stop it, though. The resurrection happened. Jesus is alive. Christ is risen. And the implications of the resurrection continue to resound today. The prophet Isaiah tells us that God is creating new heavens and a new earth, and that we should be glad and rejoice forever in what God is creating. The old is not going away. It's being transformed. It's being resurrected, if you will. Do you remember how the Bible says the first creation came to be? When God began to create the heaven and earth, the earth being unformed and void, with darkness over the surface of the deep. It was dark. It was day one, the first of a seven-day week. And when God is done creating, we zoom into a garden where all of the action first begins. And what about this new creation? Where will it begin? What will it be like? Well, we heard it earlier. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to Jesus' tomb. Jesus' tomb, which, as the rabbit reminds us, happened to be in a garden. It's dark. It's the first day of the week. It's in a garden. On that first day, God created life, and on this second first day, new life begins anew. Christ is risen, and like shockwaves, the earth begins to be resurrected and transformed as well. Like Peter, and like the disciple, I believe it. Do I understand it? Absolutely not. The mechanics are mind-boggling, for one, and when I look at the world, it is hard to reconcile the idea that 2,000 years ago, Jesus was resurrected and the new creation began again in a garden. Don't get me wrong, I believe it with all of my heart, but to be honest, I don't understand how. How is this present moment when the earth is being slowly destroyed, when people hate each other, when dictators threaten lives, and the balance of life and death seems tipped toward the latter, how is that resurrection? How is this moment a part of the redemption of everything? I don't know. I don't understand it. It doesn't look transformed. And if I'm using the words of Isaiah, it is not something I would rejoice in forever. But I do believe it has begun. Not without doubt, no. But definitely without understanding it. Many people think that the opposite of faith or belief is doubt. But it's not. Questioning doesn't make you unfaithful. Faith and doubt, they're not opposites. They aren't mutually exclusive. I can doubt sometimes and question something that I believe. No. The opposite of belief of faith is certainty. When we are certain, we need no faith. It simply isn't necessary. Or should I say, at that point, it's not actually even faith anymore. So if no one has ever told you this before, you have complete permission to doubt and to question. It's okay. But whether we understand it or not, morning has broken. Like that first morning, the resurrection is transforming all in ways I am sure we can't possibly comprehend. And a day is coming where there will be no weeping, and all will be fed, no one will be poor, all people will be equal, and love will reign. Jesus was the first raised from the dead, but is definitely not the last. And at this point, we have two choices. You can resist the universal redemption of God. Or you can help bring it into being. And I have to say that after listening to Mary Magdalene and listening to Easter Bunny, the second one is the one that I'm going with. What about you?